This is Just a Little Longer, written by Bucky Bleeds and read by Tipsy Kitty. They pulled him out of the snow like something from a fairy tale. It wasn't a pretty, sweet fairy tale with singing animals like the silly Snow White flick he'd watched with Steve. It was a fairy tale like his mother used to tell him and his sisters, full of inscrutable motives and cruelty that mere men couldn't comprehend. They pulled him out of the snow, blue and red, and took him to a cave full of bright white lights and sharp silver tools, and it was like he'd passed through a dun and everything was upside down. They cut him with smiles on their faces, and fed him with sneers, and let him freeze and thaw, freeze and thaw, freeze and thaw every night and every noon. James Buchanan Barnes, Sergeant. They let him be a filthy animal, wanted him to be a filthy animal. They took his coat and his shirt and his boots and left him blood-stained pants and his bare feet. They chained his wrist to his ankle and made him walk hunched over like an ape. They put a collar on him, a cruel one, thick leather with spikes on the inside. They didn't put it around his neck. He tried not to look at where his arm had been. He tried to ignore the lopsided weight of himself. He tried not to smell the infection, or think about how the skin was pink and puffy and oozing above and below the leather band. It was hard to ignore when they dragged him out of his cell by the stump, keeping him at the end of a short lead while the spiked collar dug into the noxious, unwell flesh. Bucky's mother had told him that time worked differently in the land of the gentry. Time worked differently here. He was under the ground, under the mound. And he'd eaten of their food, and they had claimed him as their own, and marked him as their brutish human pet, and guided him through mazes and tried to train him like a dog. They spoke in words he didn't understand, and he burned. It took a long time for the delirium to fade away with the fever, but eventually the skin of the stump stopped sloughing off, and the stink of rotting flesh faded. Bucky woke up one day and understood that he was a prisoner, and that he'd lost an arm, and that these frightening Russians who'd pulled him out of the snow wanted to use him for something great and terrible. He was in a cell, a cold tile cell. He was hurt and alone and didn't know how long he'd been there, only that he'd lost his arm and it had healed slowly into a knot of scar tissue underneath the collar that had become embedded in the muscle he had left below the shoulder. He wanted to lift his other hand to examine the wound, maybe to pull the collar loose. But he couldn't reach far enough with the chain that tied his right wrist to his right ankle. All he could see was the angry white and red scarring around the leather. And if he sat down, he could rub the end of the stump against his cloth-covered knee to prove to himself there wasn't a bone hanging out the end of the flesh like a ham in a cartoon. He hauled himself awkwardly to his feet and explored the cell he'd ignored in his illness. It was plain and bland. White tile and an army green cot, a bucket in the corner, though he couldn't see how he could reach the fly of his pants if he needed to piss. He couldn't remember eating. He couldn't remember the sky. James Buchanan Barnes, Sergeant. A hard man with a hard face brought him a bowl of slop and held it to Bucky's mouth. His cheeks flamed red as he leaned forward and ate on his knees. Later, someone else came in and opened his pants before pointing him towards the bucket. Later, someone else came in and held a glass of water for him. Later, someone else came in and held his hair in a thick fist and bent him over the army green cot, and that was something that Bucky let himself forget while he stared at the white tile ceiling of the cell, wishing it would get dark so that he could sleep and not see the red splatters on the ground. Time established itself in a circle. They fed him regularly. They let him piss and drink water regularly. They fucked him and took him up to the snow or into a concrete room full of sharp silver at irregular intervals. They never turned the lights off in his cell. They never let him sleep if they realized that's what was happening. When they cut him with the sharp silver or tore him over the army green cot, they let him heal without their help. They would mark down notes about it when they cut him. But nobody recorded any information about the other experiments. Something was missing. He wasn't himself. They let him stand one day, removing the chain from his ankle so that he could bathe in tepid water, and he had been hunched over for so long that the muscles along his spine screamed at the unfamiliar movement. He ignored the pain and wiped blood and cum and dirt off his skin, and let it cloud the basin until washing himself further with the filthy water would have made him more dirty than clean. They didn't bother to give him back his pants, and when a guard stepped close to lock his wrist and ankle together again, Bucky strangled him with the dangling chain and tried to find the sky. He ran through the complex, his muscles on fire and his feet beaten and freezing on the cold concrete, and tested door after door until he was cornered and screaming and beaten, until he woke up in his white cell with his wrist and ankle chained together, and so much blood on his skin that it was like he'd never washed at all. Something was missing. It was almost warm when they took him outside. The snow was gone, and what was left was the dull gray mud that they had him crawl through nude as they timed his heart and listened to his chest. If he hesitated, they would pull the collar around his arm, and it would fill his mind with a terrible, sparkling pain, and he would crawl faster or cry quieter. Whatever they needed, whatever they asked of him. He didn't understand the words they said to him, but he'd learned to give them what they wanted unless he saw a way out. He broke the chain between his wrist and ankle once. He was under the sky, which was blue and clear and sent the warm sun down onto his skin. It was gold and blue and endless, and he had pulled the chain apart like tissue paper, and ran until his feet found grass and his lungs were burning, and the hard men fell upon him with their clubs and broke his knees before they dragged him back to the gray mud in the white tile room. It was a long time to heal, but the blue and gold day had reminded him of what was missing. Bucky was alone. Bucky wasn't ever alone. It was an aberration for him to be away from the blue and gold man with the stubborn jaw and the soft smile. He had forgotten the blue and gold man, and that's why he hadn't come for Bucky, hadn't found him under the dun. He'd waited before, he remembered now. He'd waited and cried, but hadn't forgotten, and the blue and gold man had come for him. Now that he remembered, he knew that he'd be safe. He'd keep waiting, just a little longer, and the blue and gold man would come to pull him out of the snow like he'd pulled him out of the fire. He just had to be patient, just a little longer. The end.